In the name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit, amen.
Amen.
Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Come, Holy Spirit, fill the hearts of your faithful, and kindle within us the fire of your divine love. Send forth your Spirit, and they shall be created. Let us pray. O God, who did instruct the hearts of your faithful by the light of the Holy Spirit, grant that by the same Spirit may be truly wise, and ever rejoice in his consolation to the same Christ our Lord.
Amen.
Lady Fatima,
pray for us.
St. Acciaiola,
pray for us.
All God's angels and saints,
pray for us.
In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen.
Amen.
The early 80s, there was a film that won awards, and it was Chariots of Fire. Chariots of Fire. And there's a film of these athletes who arrive at the Olympic Games in the beginning of the 20th century in Paris. There's one scene I'd like to just go through for you as we head toward the end of these exercises. Eric Little, who was the fastest man in Scotland, was running the 400. The gun was shot, and as he started running, he was running on the edge. One of the other three runners elbowed him, and he fell down. If you know anything about running, losing 3 seconds in the 440 is huge. Sometimes they win by a tenth of a second. So he decided to get up. He put it on full gear. He passed one, passed the second, and then the guy that knocked him down, he beat him by about a hundredth of a second. He collapsed and he was panting. That little snippet from this classic movie is where we're at now. We've arrived at the 10th week of the spiritual exercises. And here's the big question. Are you going to persevere? I don't know. Are you going to persevere in your holy hour? I don't know. I can only say I hope you will persevere. Because your three enemies, the devil, the flesh, and the world, are going to do all they possibly can to prevent you from persevering until the end. So right now, you have to make the decision that you're going to establish for yourself an hour that you want to give to the Lord all the days of your life until you make it to heaven. 5 quick suggestions. 1, do the exercises again. Go deeper. Book of Father Thomas Dubay, Deep Conversion, Deep Prayer. Go deeper. 2 is, eventually try to make a longer retreat. 8-day retreat, 5-day retreat of silence so that you can assimilate these spiritual truths that you've been doing in the past 9 weeks. 3, do some good spiritual reading on Ignatian spirituality. I would suggest reading the books of Father Tim Gallagher. He's written many books on Ignatian spirituality. So maybe get some of his books that have accompanying CDs that you can listen to. 4 is, all of you should try to get some type of spiritual director. We all have blind spots. It's very easy for us to give up because we don't have anyone to direct us, to guide us. And the 5th is this. Try to bring other people to the spiritual exercises. One of the best ways that we can grow in our faith is sharing our faith with others. If you share material things, you're more poor, but when you share spiritual treasures, you're all the more rich. Okay, so let's enter into this 10th week, which is our Easter week. So this week, we're celebrating Easter. Happy Easter. Feliz Pascua. So today we celebrate, this week we're going to be celebrating Easter. About 20 years ago, there was a teacher in the English class that asked the children to write an essay on the most famous living person in the world that they admired. One little boy wrote a 5-page essay on Michael Jordan. Michael Jordan. What an admirable basketball player. They called him Air Jordan. He seemed to float. Another boy wrote a 5-page essay on Michael Jackson. Another boy wrote a 5-page article on Jesus Christ. And the teacher rebuked him publicly, saying, "I told you to write an essay on a living person." And the little boy said, "Jesus Christ is risen, hallelujah." Jesus Christ is truly risen, hallelujah. And that's the grace we're going to be begging for. Grace to really go deep into the resurrection of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. You're going to be begging for joy. And the Spanish will be intensísimo gozo, most intense joy. The superlative. Most intense joy. And the reason behind this is because Jesus is truly risen from the dead. The reason for this joy is Jesus Christ. Now everybody wants to be happy. Everybody wants to be happy. Many of you work. When you go to your workplace, everybody in your workplace is so happy, right? Far from it. And the reason being is they're seeking for happiness in the wrong place. Maybe you heard the story of the Baptist minister in Tennessee. Had problems with drinking in his little church. And he pounded away and he said, "If I had all the beer in the world, I'd throw it in the river. If I had all the whiskey in the world, I'd throw it in the river. If I had all the wine in the world, I'd throw it in the river." So he sat down and the choir master said, "Our recessional hymn will be, 'Let us go to the river joyfully.'" Many of us experience sadness because we're going to that river joyfully. Only God, only Jesus, the risen Lord, can give us true happiness. We seek it any other person, place, or circumstance. We're not going to be happy. You know, you can buy pleasure, but you can't buy happiness. There's a difference. You can buy pleasure. But you can't buy happiness. Pleasure depends upon external stimuli, huh? The senses, huh? The external. But joy is a fruit of the Holy Spirit within us. Begging for most intense joy. Not a few drops of joy, but an ocean of joy. Big difference, huh? This runs throughout the whole Bible, that joy comes from God. Probably most of you know that St. Paul wrote many letters. And he wrote, one of the letters he wrote was to the Filipinos. Galatians, Colossians, Corinthians, Filipinos, right? No? Oh, it was the Philippians, okay. So I mispronounced it, right? Okay. So Philippians chapter 4, verse 4, we read and we meditate. Rejoice in the Lord. I say it again, rejoice in the Lord. So our joy comes from the Lord. What about Mary's prayer? The Magnificat. My soul proclaims the greatness of the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior. Mary is saying that her joy comes from God the Savior. So this week you're going to be meditating upon Jesus who rose from the dead. You're going to be begging for most intense joy of Jesus who rises from the dead and he comes to console his disciples and apostles. So you suffered much last week, but your joy is going to be even more intense this week. Our Lady suffered incredible sorrow, but she experienced an overflowing intense joy. We want to beg the Blessed Virgin Mary that she will share this joy with us. So quickly, I'm going to go through the various appearances of Jesus, then we're going to focus on one. This will be the end of our course. Jesus first appeared to the Blessed Virgin Mary. Even though that's not written in the Bible, we still believe it. This is called tradition. She was the only one that didn't doubt. The others doubted. The others, in a certain sense, they failed. But Mary, she suffered so much, but she believed in faith that the death of her son was not the last word. The last word was, Alleluia, he is truly risen. Alleluia. That's the last word. So you have to try to imagine how Jesus would have appeared to the Blessed Mother. You have to utilize your imagination. Well, if you have an imagination, imagine how it must have happened. I see it as Mary's praying that whole night with sorrow in her heart. There's this joy that is surging up in her heart. And as the sun breaks forth that first Easter morning, the rays of that sun, they pass through the window where Mary is. And as the sunlight is passing through the window pane, so Jesus also appears to his mother and says, Shalom, peace be with you. And Mary gets up and embraces her son and try to imagine the tears running down the cheeks of the Blessed Virgin Mary, seeing her son, tears of joy. And you're present there. And you're called to absorb also that wonderful joy that Jesus is sharing with his Blessed Mother. You're present there. This is called an Ignatian contemplation. You are truly present there. Composition of place. See the place. See, hear the words. See their gestures. And Ignatius says, derive fruit from this. Composition of place. You're present there. Hear the words. See the gestures. Enter into colloquy with them. Beg for this most intense joy that will be flowing out of your heart the rest of your life. It's interesting that Pope Francis wrote his document, The Joy of the Gospel. We're called to be joyful messengers of the gospel in the modern world. Pope Paul VI, years ago, wrote Gaudete Domino, which was an encyclical on joy. Gaudete Domino is Latin for rejoice in the Lord. So early in the morning, Jesus appeared to his Blessed Mother. Then he appeared to St. Mary Magdalene. The stone was rolled. The angels were there. Jesus appeared to her. She thought he was the gardener. How often in these apparitions, Jesus appears and they don't seem to recognize him. How often has Jesus appeared to us and we don't recognize him? I think very often. He's present in our life, but we're blinded to seeing him. Then later on that night, the same day, the apostles are in the upper room that's called the cenacle, with the doors closed for fear of them being arrested and maybe the same thing happening to them. Fear of maybe being crucified. And Jesus goes right through the wall, Shalom, peace be with you. As the Father sent me, so I send you. Then he breathes on them the Holy Spirit and says, receive the Holy Spirit. Whose sins you forgive, they will be forgiven. Whose sins you bind, they'll be held bound. That was the Easter Sunday night in which our Lord was giving to the church the gift of confession. The sacrament of confession. Breathing on the apostles the power to forgive sins in his name. Well, what we'd like to focus upon in this last conference, in this last lecture, this last contemplation, we find only in the Gospel of Luke, Luke chapter 24, only in Luke. This is not happening, not in the morning, it's not happening at night, it's happening in the afternoon, maybe about 3 o'clock in the afternoon. You've got two disciples. They're taking a walk. They're walking on the road to Emmaus. There are two of them. They're walking away from Jerusalem. They're walking away from the church. Don't walk away from the church. Stay in the church. Church has gone through tough times. It always has. Stay in the church. You become a saint. Make the church a better place by holiness of life. You become a saint. We know one of their names, and his name is Cleophas. The other one is anonymous, because that's supposed to be you. Rosa. Edith, Mary, Lupe, Luis, Estella, that's supposed to be you. It's anonymous because that's supposed to be you. You're supposed to be walking. And as they're walking, they start out there depressed. We call this, they're in a state of desolation. You know what that is by now, huh? You know it theologically and experientially, right? What it is. They're in desolation. They're walking, they're talking, they're arguing, they're debating. Basically, on what's happened the past past 2.5 days about Jesus Christ. And he's dead. And some of these women said he's risen from the dead wives' tales. Huh? Oh yeah, sure. They really didn't believe those women. Not that they were just fairy tale, not the truth. And as they're debating among themselves, all of a sudden something happens. This man comes out of nowhere. This stranger. Call him a pilgrim. Seems to come out of nowhere. And he's walking with them. He's walking, he said, what are you talking about? They say, are you the only stranger in Jerusalem who does not know about what happened to Jesus Christ? And he says, what things? So if he didn't know anything about himself, huh? What things? They don't recognize him. So they're walking. And he says, what things? Because he purposely wanted them to go deep within the depths of their souls and to bring to the surface, to bring to him how they were feeling. Now we've arrived at the very heart of these exercises, the very heart of this program. You're called to be one of these disciples walking. You're called to go into the very depths of your heart. You're called to open up and talk to this man we call Jesus Christ, the risen Lord. Remember that we talked about Marcellino Panivino. We talked about the miracle of Marcellino. We talked about how this little boy would climb the steps to the upper room, open up the door, and see on the wall was Jesus on the cross. And he opened up and he talked to Jesus on the cross. And Jesus talked to him. There was a conversation. There was a dialogue. There was a colloquy. That's what you're called to do. You're called to look at the Lord. You're called to enter into this intimate conversation with the Lord. That's Marcellino Panivino. But the same thing happens with these disciples on the road to Emmaus. He says, what things? And they open up and they unload. Now it's your turn. What things are happening in your life? What are some of your worries? Tell me about them. What are some of your fears? Tell the Lord about those. Maybe have you ever had a doubt? Tell the Lord about those doubts. Have you ever had any anxiety? Open up. Have you ever had any stress in your life? Tell the Lord about that. You ever been tempted? Why not tell the Lord about your temptations? Have you ever had any failures? Even tell the Lord about your failures. Have you ever had any dreams that never came to anything? Tell the Lord about those dreams that you've had and went up in smoke. Tell the Lord about that. Jesus, you can always talk to him. You have said this in your life more than once. I'm too busy. I'm too busy. Know that Jesus never said, I'm too busy for you. We're too busy for him. Because we're very important people, right? We're too busy for him. We got our schedules. We got our calendars. We've got our appointments. No? We're too busy for him. But he's never too busy for us. How great God is. How humble God is. How loving God is. How kind God is. how merciful God is, how thankful we should be because we know about this God who loves us so much, how thankful, grateful we should be. So as they open up and they express to the Lord what's in the very depths of their hearts, you're called to do the same thing. As they open up, this stranger listens very attentively to every word that comes out of their mouths. Not only does he listen to every word that comes out of their mouths, he's able also to read what's going on in their very hearts. He's able to read their minds. He's able to understand their emotions. He's able to understand their feelings. He understands what happened in their past. He understands what's happening in the present. He even knows what's going to happen in the future. There's no one that knows us and loves us more than Jesus Christ. He is, indeed, the friend that will never fail us. But he suffers because we're too busy at times. We've got more important things on our schedule. He's never too busy for us, though. You ever call someone on the phone? Busy. I'd like you to give you a phone number that's never busy. H-E-A-V-E-N. Let me give you another phone number that's never busy. G-E-S-U-S. Let me give you another phone number that's never busy. M-A-R-Y. You got to use those phone. You got to use those phone numbers. Put them in your cell phone, okay? Put them in your cell phone. But use them. You got to use them. You don't use it, you lose it, huh? So after they're opening up, both of them are just opening up, telling this wonderful stranger who's the best listener that they've ever met in their lives. Never met a better listener than this man. So after they have gotten all out, and they're now at peace, this listener then intervenes, and he starts to speak. And he speaks. And he speaks. And he speaks. And he speaks. What they recognize is that not only is he the best listener in the world, but he's the best speaker in the world, too. And what is he talking about? He's talking about the Bible. He's talking about the prophet Isaiah, the suffering servant. He's talking about Psalm 22. What is that? That's a psalm that refers to the passion of Christ. He's talking about all these prophecies that referred to him in the Old Testament. And don't forget, they don't know that this is Jesus yet. This is just a wonderful stranger, a nice friend, a good pilgrim. And they are just enthralled and captivated by this person. Such a great listener. But when he speaks, they were almost mesmerized by what he said. His knowledge of the Word of God. How he's able to apply the Word of God to their lives. How he's able to apply the Word of God to what happened on that Good Friday and that Easter Sunday. And what's happening is, remember we talked about they started out in desolation? They're kind of sad and depressed, forlorn orphans, so to speak. Now what is happening is this cloud of desolation, the sun is coming out and the cloud of desolation is dissipating and disappearing. The sun of God's grace is shining in their hearts. What's happening? Their sadness is being turned to joy. And now they're listening. And they're relishing this conversation. And they're filled with joy. They're filled with peace. Their lives have meanings. Their life has a principle and foundation. Their lives have purpose. And don't forget, these men, they're walking 7 miles. It's a long walk. They started out by dragging their feet. And now they're walking with their heads up. And they've arrived at their destination. But it looks like this stranger has an appointment down the road. Seems as if he has to meet someone down the road. They say this, "Stay with us, Lord, stay with us, because the sun is going down. Stay with us. The day is almost over. Stay with us." What a beautiful prayer. "Stay with us, Lord. Stay with us. The day is almost over. Stay with us, Lord. I'm getting older, not any younger, huh? Stay with us, Lord. Do not abandon us. Stay with us, Lord. We don't want to be orphans. We want to be accompanied by you on the highway to heaven. Stay with us, Lord." Now, what's interesting is this, is that Jesus respects your freedom. He's not coercive. He's not going to force himself in your life. He respects your freedom. There's a painting by a man named Holman Hunt. And he paints Jesus as the Good Shepherd with a staff in hand. And he's knocking at the door. Beautiful painting. On one occasion, the man came up to him and said, "You know, it's a great painting, but you're lacking in common sense. You forgot to paint the doorknob on." What's the purpose of a door without a doorknob? He said, "I purposely did not paint the doorknob because the doorknob is from within. God is knocking at the door of your heart, and that doorknob is from within. You have to open up. Behold, I stand at the door and I knock. Whoever opens up the door, I will sit down and dine with him, and he will dine with me." So there's the mystery of freedom, free will. Our God is a gentleman, un caballero, right? He's not going to force himself into our lives. But he enters upon invitation. So they say, "Stay with us, Lord. Stay with us, Lord. Because the sun is going down." And he accepts that invitation. Now try to imagine. They're walking 7 miles. They're kind of tired. You probably would be too. Imagine it's probably a little house, little cottage. They enter. Try to imagine it. There's a table. Maybe a little bit dusty. Maybe it can help you get the dust off. And there are 3 chairs. You might dust off the chairs. But what's key to understanding this biblical passage is one word, and it's bread. It's bread. Half the table is cleaned off. There's bread on the table. Now we're going to see what this stranger does with his bread. There's actually going to be four verbs in the present tense. Four verbs in the present tense. The present continuous. With respect to the bread. He takes the bread. He blesses the bread. He breaks the bread. And he gives the bread. Maybe you've heard those words before. He takes the bread. He blesses the bread. He breaks the bread and gives the bread. I've been saying those words every day for the past 31 years of my life. Sometimes twice a day. Have you ever heard those words? Every time I celebrate Mass, I take the bread, bless the bread, break the bread, and give the bread. Jesus is high priest, right? Jesus is the high priest. Our priesthood flows from the priesthood of Christ. What happened at Last Supper? He took the bread, blessed the bread, broke the bread, gave the bread, said, "Do this in memory of me." In that moment, their eyes were opened and they recognized him. They recognized him in the breaking of the bread. Then he disappeared. According to Catholic commentaries, what Jesus was doing there, he was celebrating the second Mass. You got bread, you got the words, you got the high priest, you got the second Mass there. And then their eyes were open and they no longer recognized Jesus. But did he really leave them? He didn't really leave them. He stayed and was present with them in the Eucharist. And they got up and they returned. Now I imagine if you were walking 8 miles, you'd probably be tired. You'd probably want to have a big meal, go to bed, have a good night's rest, and then walk the 8 miles back, right? Not with them. What happened after this encounter with Jesus, they were filled with so much joy and energy that they're going to be walking another 7 or 8 miles. They're going to be walking about 15 miles. When was the last time you did that? Maybe never in your life, huh? They receive the energy, the joy, and the strength from Jesus Christ. In the Word and the Eucharist. Maybe some of you remember the Old Testament Elijah. Elijah is running away from the king that wants to kill him, and an angel appears to him as he's sleeping and says, "Take and eat." And he eats, then he falls asleep, and he says, "Take and eat." So he eats some bread from this angel, and he walks 40 days and 40 nights on the power of the bread that was given, which is a symbol of the Eucharist. So they get up and they head back to Jerusalem. Now they're not dragging their feet. They're not in the depths of depression. They're filled with joy and they rush back to where they find the apostles and say, "We have encountered the Lord. We encountered him on the road to Emmaus, and especially encountered him in the breaking of the bread." So what do we have here? The disciples on the road to Emmaus is a beautiful way for us to celebrate Easter. And what we see here are these two men. They are experiencing desolation, depression, a little bit of bitterness, sadness, right? Quarreling among themselves. And the principal reason is this, is because they were walking without Jesus Christ. Whenever we in our lives, abusing our free will, we decide not to walk with Jesus Christ, then we, like these disciples, are going to fall into a state of desolation, state of depression. That movie that I mentioned to you, the movie of the greatest miracle, starts out with three individuals. They are in profound desolation too. Two widows, one old, another one young. A bus driver whose son is dying of terminal cancer. They start out, they're sad, they're depressed, they're in desolation. But their guardian angels intervene and bring them to church. In which these guardian angels go through all the different parts of the Mass. From the introduction, penitential rite, the Gloria, the Word of God, the offertory, the consecration, the communion, and the dismissal. And these three individuals who enter into this movie sad and depressed without any hope, they leave this movie filled with joy because they encountered Jesus Christ truly present in the holy sacrifice of the Mass. So let's look at these disciples on the road to Emmaus. We really see these disciples on the road to Emmaus as a model of the Mass in miniature. When they're walking, alone, by themselves, they're sad. But then Jesus starts to walk with them. What does he do? He walks along with them. And he starts to explain the Word of God to them. What happens when we go to Mass? Mass is divided into two essential parts. This is Vatican II, the document Sacrosanctum Concilium. Two essential parts in the Mass. It's called the Liturgy of the Word and the Liturgy of the Eucharist. The Liturgy of the Word, on Sunday, you got the first reading, usually Old Testament. Then you got the Psalm. Then you got the second reading, taken from the New Testament, usually taken from St. Paul. Then you got the Gospel reading. That's called the Liturgy of the Word. The Liturgy of the Eucharist, you've got three parts. The offertory, the consecration, and you got Holy Communion. This Mass, we can see in the disciples on the road to Emmaus. They're walking and listening and talking to Jesus is the Liturgy of the Word. The Liturgy of the Word. And as St. Jerome says, ignorance of sacred scripture is ignorance of Christ. How can we get to know who Jesus Christ is if we don't know who he is? And that's one of the primary things you've been doing the past 9 weeks. You've been spending your time in prayer. You've been spending your time reading the Word of God. You've been spending your time meditating upon the Word of God. You've been spending your time, like the Blessed Virgin Mary, pondering the Word of God in your heart, in imitation of Mary. But not only that. They arrive at the home, and this stranger sits down. He takes bread, blesses the bread, breaks the bread, and gives the bread. That's the liturgy of the Eucharist. So, if we really want to experience joy in our lives, all of us are called to joy. And the fruit that you're going to be begging for this week is the most intense joy. But that joy does not come from things or creatures. The joy comes from God. As Paul says, rejoice in the Lord. I say it again, rejoice in the Lord. As Mary said, my soul proclaims the greatness of the Lord, and my spirit rejoices. In who? God, my Savior. This passage on the road to Emmaus is exactly what we've been doing for the past 9 weeks. We've been trying to walk with the Lord. We've been trying to listen to the Lord. We've been trying to talk to the Lord. We've been trying to invite the Lord. Invite the Lord into our lives. And hopefully we've been receiving Him into our hearts in Holy Communion. That is the essence of joy and peace in our lives. So, in conclusion, we would like all of you to think about how you can persevere in these exercises. Because it's easier not to pray than to pray. The temptation is, okay, I finished these exercises, I'm going to go back and be a normal person now. Okay? I'm not going to be a religious fanatic, maybe as my husband said, okay? I'm going to go back and just be a normal person. You know what that is? Return to being a mediocre person. Do any of you want to be mediocre? Experience proves those who do not dedicate themselves to growing in their spiritual life, growing in their prayer life, growing in their contemplative life, most likely they're just going to return to a life of mediocrity. I pray and hope that you're not going to be mediocre Catholics. The church is a sleeping giant. Someone has to wake up this sleeping giant, and that's you. You're called to start fires. You're called to wake up the sleeping giant. This is only going to come about if you're deeply united to Jesus and Mary. It's only going to happen that way. You can't give what you don't have. Now is the time to wake up sleeping humanity and give to them the reason for the hope. And the reason for the hope is Jesus Christ. So Jesus Christ died. Jesus Christ is risen. Jesus Christ will come again. Amen. Amen. The Blessed Virgin Mary wants to walk with you. There's a story of a poor man that wanted to get close to the king. And it turned out that this poor man was a farmer. He was walking down the road. Underneath his arm was a bag of seed. And the king came by. The king stopped and said, what do you have? He said, I'm a farmer, Your Highness, and I've got some seed underneath my arm. And the king said, well, give me some of that. So begrudgingly, the poor man gave him. Just one of the seeds among the many that he had underneath his arm in his bag. He gave it to the king. He's kind of angry because the king has everything. He just had a little bit of seed and his farm and a little house. So in return, the king gave him a little box. White box. So the king said goodbye, and when he was walking back to his house, kind of cussing out the king, with his little white box in his hand, he arrived at his little hut, opened up the door, put the white box on his table, and decided he'd open up the white box. So he opens up the white box, and there's a wad of cotton. And he clears out the cotton, and below this wad of cotton was a big, beautiful diamond. He said to himself, why didn't I give the king all of the seeds that I had? And I'd be a multimillionaire in diamonds. Who is that poor man? That's me and that's you. Who is the rich one? Mary. She's known as the Queen of Heaven and Earth. Mary is the Queen of the Angels. Mary is the Queen of Confessors. She's the Queen of Virgins. The Queen of Martyrs. St. Louis de Montfort, she's the Queen of All Hearts. She's the Queen of the Universe. Why not end these exercises by thanking Mary for her yes to God? Thanking Mary for having prayed for you. We told you to pray with Mary and ask Mary for her prayers during all these exercises. Why don't you try to give all that you have to Jesus through Mary? And you will have treasures in heaven. So may God bless all of you, having made these spiritual exercises, with peace and joy, intense joy, and long life and eternal life. Amen.
Amen.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, the Holy Spirit, amen. Let's ask the Blessed Virgin Mary to help us to persevere on this highway to holiness and make it to heaven and bring many souls with us. Amen.
Amen.
Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
Through the intercession of St. Ignatius, St. Joseph, the angels, and Mary, the Queen of Angels and Saints, may God bless you in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. God bless you, and have a good day.
Thank you, Father.